The park gates are closed, so you jump over the wall and go down to the lake and sit on the swings there. You hoosh some more of Ruprecht's Ventolin. It feels so weird, like doing a reverse sneeze. Then you push Laurie on the swing. Then she pushes you, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair, she says. Then it starts to rain again, and you both jam into one swing under one umbrella. A black one, that you found thrown into the bushes right outside the sports hall. Am I squashing you? She says. It's okay, you say. Laurie's phone starts ringing. She takes it out and presses ignore. It stops, then immediately it starts again. Who is it? No one, she says. She switches it off, and then she digs around in her pockets and says we should try these too. All around the rain going ksh, poo. What are they? They're called Ritalin? What do they do? I don't know. Though she's got a whole pocket full of them. So you take one, then two, then three. Then you don't know, but your head is going fsh every time you turn it, like skis turning on snow. Like every time you blink, it becomes this long voyage, 80 days around the world. And every time you open your eyes, it's like in a different place, only with Laurie beside you. Every time you keep floating off into space, and she keeps bringing you back. Let's have a rolling race, she says. But the grass is wet. But anyway, you roll down the hill. You win. No, I win, she says. Okay, we both win. You stand up, but your head does not stop spinning. You pull bits of grass off each other. Her hand stops in your hair. Your hand stops in her hair. And then you both run. You run and run. And then you're outside Ed's. You go inside and buy donuts and cokes and sit down across the table from each other. What happens is that Laurie is the most beautiful girl in the world. She is the most beautiful anything anywhere. More beautiful than the most beautiful painting. More beautiful than oceans, sunsets, dolphins, glaciers. You want to tell her this, but she's already trying not to giggle. Do you believe in flying saucers? She says. You go, yes. Because there is one hovering right above your head. Then she drops the donut on your head, and you throw it at her, and she throws it back at you. And now you are throwing all your donuts at each other. Oh no! They are invading Earth! Resistance is useless! And then the Chinese guy comes over and starts shouting, and you realize everyone is looking at you, and there are donuts everywhere. But then outside the storm has stopped, and patches of clear sky appear. Great big holes of dark blue in the clouds, like someone is tearing wrapping paper off a Christmas present. And Laurie says, let's go for a walk. So you walk up the road to the dual carriageway. Cars zip by you, and electricity too, invisibly to light up each of the lights and houses. Laurie keeps trying to tell you this story about a friend of hers, but then forgetting where she is and going back to the start. This is the best night of your life! Outside L.A. nights, bouncers in black jackets stare hard at IDs or bend down to kiss girls with stringy tops and thin legs. Up above, the clouds are mostly gone. You notice one star twinkling right at you. When you see a star suddenly get bright like that, it means it's a satellite and it's located you with its tracker beam. Laurie goes, so what's with that costume anyway? And you start telling her about Hopeland and Princess Hope and the three demons, fire, ice, and the one no one's ever seen, and you're this guy, Jed, who's trying to find the magic weapons and save the realm. Okay, she says. Do you like video games? You say. No, she says. Maybe shut up about that stuff for a little while. What about your costume? You ask her. Oh, this is just something my mum picked up for me in New York. It's the dress Bethany wore to the Grammys. Wow! You mean the actual one she wore? She gives you a look like, hello? No. It's just like a Marc Jacobs dress that costs $800. Oh, right. Shit, Skippy. Stop being such a spa. Do you like Bethany? She says. Yes, you say. I love her, Laurie says. You look quite like her, you say. Do you think so? Laurie seems pleased. Definitely, you say. Although Bethany is blonde and sort of a hoe, and Laurie is 5 million times hotter. Some of my friends say that, she is saying. But my mom won't let me bleach my hair. What are your parents like? Are they on your case the whole time? Out of nowhere, the game shrieks up at you. Well, sometimes. I don't see them that often because I'm boarding. Oh, right. That must be pretty shit, being stuck in school the whole time. Like, What do you do for fun? Well, there's this guy, Ruprecht. You start telling her about Ruprecht and his inventions. She likes this. She thinks it's funny. Okay, so, crazy roommate, she counts in her fingers, weird video games. Do you ever do anything normal? Do you? Swimming? You say. Oh, yeah? Yeah. And you tell her about the swim team and the races and the trophy you won. You won a trophy, she says. Yeah, at this meet down in the country. And after midterm, there's another meet somewhere else. That's amazing, she says. That's so cool. Yeah, but I'm thinking of quitting. Really? Why would you want to quit? You shrug. Because I hate it. Suddenly, you notice the sky is dark blue and waving and rushing and streaming like water. What's wrong with it? Wait a second, it's you, you dope. Quick, turn your face in the other direction so she can't see. But she doesn't see. Instead, she says, I would love to be good at something like that. You brush your cheeks clear so you can turn to look at her. Why? Just to be really good at something, she says. I just think it would feel great. You're thinking, why would she want to be good at something when she is her? When she is the most perfect thing that exists? But instead you say, you're good at frisbee. How do you know that? Everything freezes. The sky, the cars. You just look like you would be. I like frisbee, she agrees. But I'd love to be a singer, like a really brilliant singer. Maybe you should go on one of those shows, you say. I always get stage fright, she says. She holds her arms. She looks up into the sky. It would be nice to do something that made me feel special. You stop. You stare at her. You don't feel special? Now she looks back at you. She smiles. Most of the time I don't feel special. Your brain goes, holy shit, you have to kiss her. I should probably go home, she says. Professor Tamashii.
Our initial concept of the 11th dimension was as a tranquil place, through which these membranes, these universes, floated gently, like clouds on a summer's day. It was a mystery to us how something like the Big Bang might have occurred from that scenario. And then one day I was speaking to my brother on the phone. We were recalling how as boys our father would take us to the harbor in Yokohama. My brother was very interested in ships at that time, and it was common for U.S. destroyers to dock there. These ships were huge, perhaps 200 feet tall, and in length equivalent to 2 or 3 city blocks. But on one occasion, we visited the docks and we saw a destroyer that had itself been half destroyed. The whole front of the ship had been completely crushed, like a car that has hit a telegraph pole at high speed. What could have done that on the open seas? When we asked, we were told that it had been hit by a wave. One wave, which came out of nowhere, crushed in the bow and smashed everything right back to the bridge, causing more damage than all the weapons on the ship fired at once. At sea, rogue waves like that are known as white waves. I asked myself, what if these white waves exist in the higher dimensions, too? What if the 11th dimension was not a serene place, but a place of storms, with entire universes ripping through it like huge, turbulent waves? Imagine the kind of cataclysm you'd have if one of these white wave universes collided into another universe. I believe that the Big Bang is the aftermath of just such an encounter. 2 membranes, 2 universes smash into each other. The energy released is the Big Bang, which produces our universe. In this model, the problem of the singularity disappears. Universes may be colliding all the time, producing an infinite number of Big Bangs.
You are walking up the woodland avenue hand in hand. Above you, the galaxies explode like slow fireworks. Beside you, Laurie is singing a Bethany song.
If I had 3 wishes, I would give away 2, 'cause I only need 1, 'cause I only want you.
Her voice sweet and fragile, like a bird's. You turn up one road and down another. each one quieter and darker than the one before. The house is hidden behind walls and ivy. You are silent, listening to her sing, trying to think of something to make her not go home.
"Tell me something, Daniel,"
she says after a while.
"Why are guys such assholes?"
You think for a little bit. "I don't know," you say.
"I don't mean you,"
she says.
"You're not an asshole."
"Thanks," you say.
"No, really, I mean it,"
she says. You stop outside a tall, arched gate. Through the railings, you can see a light set back among the trees.
"This is my house,"
she says. "Right," you say.
"Do I look all right?"
she says.
"Like, I don't look..."
"You look perfect," you say.
"Will you be okay getting back?"
"Sure."
"Okay."
She taps a code into the intercom, and the gates glide open to receive her. The moon is out. Everything is silver. The cars in the distance go down the dual carriageway, like breaths. You have no idea how to get from here to where you are kissing her. It is a chasm with no bridge across.
"Good night, then,"
she says. "Good night," you say with a dry mouth. With every second, the chasm grows wider, and your heart sinks lower as slowly you wake from her spell to the reality that this is over, and soon everything that happened, her hand in your hand, the swings, the park, the donuts, all of it will be gone into the past. And then she is kissing you. Her arms are wrapped around you, her mouth minty and soft. You are so stunned that it takes you a moment to remember to kiss her back. You put your arms around her waist and push your lips against hers.
"Have you ever kissed anyone before?"
she says. "Yes," you say. "Though only your mother and various aunts, and not like this at all. But it doesn't seem to matter, because she is kissing you again. The tip of her tongue tracing sideways eights on the tip of yours, sending you spinning, and the whole sky and universe with you. And when she pulls away, everything is still swimming. Everywhere you look, there are stars."
"Okay,"
she says again. "Okay," you say, through the dizziness and smiles and stars. So many stars, everywhere you look. They are coming from her, that's what's happening. Swarming up out of her like friendly silver hornets, like they must have come spilling out of nothing when the Big Bang banged.
"Good night, Daniel,"
Laurie says, as the gates close like arms around her, scooping her into them. "Good night," you say, not moving, smiling at the stars everywhere. Stars in her hair. Stars in her eyes. Stars. Stars. Part 2. Heartland. People like us, who believe in physics, know that the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. Albert Einstein. The phone rings shortly after dawn, the bland electronic tinkle exploding the quiet of the bedroom like a bomb blast. Howard, though he's been waiting for it all night, doesn't move. Instead, deferring the moment until there is absolutely no way out, he lies with his eyes closed, listening to Hallie's murmurous protest, the rustling crash of the sheets as she reaches over to the dresser.
"Hello? Yes, Greg."
Her voice burrs with sleep, like her mouth is full of leaves.
"No, that's fine. No, sure, I'll just get him for you."
The bed creaks as she rolls back to him.
"It's for you."
He opens his eyes to meet hers, just awoken, incandescently blue and bright, quizzing him.
"Thanks,"
he says, taking the phone from her and turning away with it.
"Hello?
Howard?"
The voice crackles tersely in his ear.
"Greg!"
He tries to sound like this is a pleasant surprise.
"Howard, I want you in my office in exactly 1 hour."
Of course,
Howard says smilingly, and continues to smile as the line goes dead in his ear.
See you then.